It's not easy being a tween.
I think it's an interesting period of life.
It's kind of a transition period between being a kid and being a teenager.
I wouldn't want to go back to that age group just because of the pressures that they're facing.
There's a lot of outside influence.
It seems much harder than what we had to come up against when I was growing up.
I remember being 11 and 12 and wanting to grow up so fast and do all these cool teenage things.
You have a lot of influence from television and music and older siblings and classmates.
I'd say it's hard for parents, too, to balance letting a kid have that independence and saying, you know, you're still a child, too, at the same time.
So what is a tween? Paul Pettit is president and founder of Dynamic Dads, an organization offering encouragement to fathers. However, when it comes to this special group of young people, fathers and mothers alike are sometimes at a loss.
That age of tweens, 8 to 12, is such a difficult time developmentally because they're no longer infants. You know, we're not changing their diaper or giving them baby food, but they're not quite adults yet either.
Paul points out that successfully navigating the stage of a child's maturation isn't easy, but is vital to who he or she will become as an adult. And so it's critical that parents walk with their child through these important days of development.
It's like the middle of a marathon. You know, sometimes at the start of a marathon, we have a lot of energy and a lot of vision. And sometimes at the end of a marathon, we can sprint toward the tape or we can see the distance. But these tween years are where we hit the wall of parenting, and we forget the joys of toddlerhood, and we're not quite ready for that releasing, sending them to college or sending them off to their first job. So we can get fatigued, we can lose the vision, and we can struggle with tiredness, that lack of vision. So yeah, these are difficult times to parent when our kids are in that time period of 8 to 12.
He says it's not uncommon for tweens to begin questioning their parents' decision, sometimes causing parents to become exasperated as it appears the young person is challenging their authority. However, instead of becoming frustrated, Paul calls on parents to understand what's happening.
Well, that questioning is actually very healthy because what they're struggling with is forming their own identity. And that's a God-given mechanism within them. They've believed up to this point what you've told them, but now they need to own it for themselves. So obviously they're going to question that. They look at coaches, they look at school teachers, they look at media influences, and they're sorting this out and thinking, which one is really true? Which one should I really embrace? So this period of questioning is very normal and natural, but it is scary as parents because we hear things and we see things and we maybe jump to conclusions.
He admits it's tempting for parents to throw in the towel and give in to extremes.
On one end, we see this danger of abandonment, no rules. Hey, you know, you want to come home at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., that's fine with me. Just make sure you close the garage door when you come home. But on the other extreme is a very strict legalism, almost an enmeshment where I can't do anything unless I have your permission. I can't walk out the front door unless I have your... I mean, a very strict boundaries, harsh parenting where the children don't even feel like they can breathe or make their own choices. So if you think of those two extremes, we need to be in that middle ground where, yes, we do give some privileges, but they also need to be followed up with some responsibilities.
More responsibilities involve knowing the child's level of maturity.
Let's say my child has done some babysitting, but yet how are they spending the money that they've earned? Or let's say my son has mowed his first yard, but yet he left the lawnmower at the neighbor's house. So as we allow our kids more and more responsibility, we need to make sure that they're taking care of those commitments. So it's really avoiding those harsh extremes and working at a balanced form of parenting.
He says one of the things to remember is that parents are not raising kids, but they are raising adults.
And sometimes we look at our 12-year-olds, our 11-year-olds, and think, man, they're never going to make it. Or, you know, how is this ever going to turn out? But we need to think through that long-term vision. You know, imagine your son or daughter driving a car. Imagine your son or daughter voting for the first time. Think about when your son or daughter graduates from college, possibly. And when we keep that vision in mind, then the little things that happen day by day, the nitpicking things, become less important. And we begin to focus on those big events and think of the major decisions we need to make. We're also preparing them for life on their own. So we need to think through, hey, I'm not always going to be there for them. How are they going to do laundry someday? You know, how are they going to change the oil in their car someday? So are we even now, in little ways, Tracy, are we preparing them for life on their own? And this helps us sometimes catch that vision of parenting well.
Paul insightfully observes that parents need to make it a priority to study how to effectively communicate to their tween, especially at this time in their lives when it's easy for lines of communication to break down. As parents are asking how, he suggests,
I think asking them open-ended questions is one of the best ways. Instead of asking yes or no questions or, you know, the default mode that I fall into, hey, when I was your age, I was making my own bed, or, you know, back in the old days, I used to walk to school. Maybe asking them, hey, what kind of car do you want to drive someday? And, you know, will you be the type that buys new tires or will you buy used tires? And what about, you know, a cell phone? When you're a teenager, do you want to have a cell phone? Oh, really? How do you see yourself paying for it? So helping them with open-ended questions gets them out of their own zone of being stuck and helps them think through, yeah, how will I buy lunch when I'm older? How will I buy my own clothes? You know, how will I handle the freedoms that come with adolescence and even young adulthood?
He playfully adds that by doing so,
I can get some really funny answers sometimes. One of my sons the other day said, I don't want to work when I get older. I said, oh, really? What do you want to do? And they just thought for a minute, and they said, you know, I just want to be a garbage collector. And so we all laughed, and we said, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good job. And then he said, well, but I don't always want to do that. So, you know, it's just them visualizing themselves in the future and thinking through what they see themselves doing in the future. And then that helps them think through, maybe I should study for this test, or maybe I should save my money now. So open-ended questions are also a great way to help with this balanced parenting.
Paul reiterates that authentic communication with tweens takes practice and skill, and parents should practice often. Turn off the electronic devices, he advises, look into your child's eyes, and practice speaking from the heart, and see what happens. Reporting for Primetime America, I'm Tracy Haney.